first Sunday of the month, so our sermon is always a reflection of some sort of the children's sermon that the 9 o'clock would have normally gotten if there had been kids today. First time ever. It's kind of odd. I got up and I didn't have my 11 o'clock sermon. I had my kids' sermon, and so I had to wing it. But it's still a reflection of what you all hear. And sometimes those concepts maybe seem a little simplistic, but that's okay. Last week, we heard Jesus say who was blessed. We heard that through what we call the Beatitudes, in that portion right off the bat, first part of the teaching in Matthew. It is Matthew's first lessons that he's given us, and we call this whole section the Sermon on the Mount. Being blessed had to do with honor in their society and restoring honor. People of the time felt that they were blessed if society deemed them to have it. And so it was society, that really those rulers, who deemed them, if they were honorable, if they were blessed. But Jesus, he wiped that out and said that all those who society said weren't blessed, who were cast out, who were without hope, who were demonized, that they were blessed, that their blessing didn't come from man. Their blessing came from God, a much greater and higher blessing. So the concept for me, really, we don't live in an honor-shame society. We have a lot of, those words still exist, but it did not mean, in our world what it meant then. And so the thought of blessing equaling honor, I just don't connect with it. And maybe there is a way that we can find a better connection for what blessing might mean to us today. And so, you know, I go back to my childhood and thinking about times where I may have felt like those people who Jesus' society deemed had no honor. They were lost, alone, cast aside, ill, hurting. It was pain. It was nothing at all good about the situation. And I know we have those times in our lives now, but I think back to childhood and what made those things better. Well, what comes to mind was grandma's hugs. And, you know, you had that person, hopefully we all had that person in our life that when we were young, and everything that happens to us when we're young seems to be the end of the world. We haven't learned yet. Our knowledge is so limited on what the end of the world might look like. But to us, it's the pain is just multiplied when we're young. And I think about when I experienced hugs from my grandmother, that it all went away. I knew that it was an unconditional hug. It was an embrace. I felt safe, created a warmth inside. I knew that she loved me no matter what, and it let me know that it was going to be okay. It didn't necessarily mean that I wasn't hurting, because we still hurt. And there are times where we still feel sad and lonely and all those other words we could throw in there. But within that hug, there was healing. There was comfort. And there was hope. It let me know that I wasn't alone in my experience. We still may have that person whose hugs do that for us today. I hope so. Well, this week, Jesus says that we are to be seen and known by our actions and our good works. We are to be seen as who we actually are. Jesus says who we actually are is the light of the world. Light of the world, great concept. Get it a little bit in Matthew, get it a lot in John, but what does that mean? We are the light of the world. Well, go back to childhood or even now. When I think light of the world, well, if it's going to be tied to that hug, and am I going to tie it to light, I think of the nightlight in our house. And why is the nightlight there? Well, the one out in the hallway near the stairs, clearly the light helps us to see. There's a reality to what we can see. Not what we think might be there, because in my house there may be a toy or something there that I wasn't expecting. But that nightlight helps me see. Because of that, it creates a sense of safety and security. I mean, the nightlight is to take away our fears. The darkness, it can't overcome the light. But one single flame can overcome darkness. In this space, in this holy space, often I will come in the evenings it will be dark in here, and this place can be really dark in here. And one of the things that I always instantly connect with when I walk into this place and it's dark is the one little flame that burns right up here. It's our ombre light. It's our ombre candle. And it only burns for one reason. It burns to let us know when we come into this space that if there is our reserve sacrament in the ombre, the box on the wall, and we say that reserve sacrament, when we consecrate as a community, it creates the real presence of Jesus. And so if I walk in here in the dark and I see that little light that burns, I know that I'm in the presence, the real presence of Jesus. Yes, Jesus is always with me. I know that. But there's something special about seeing that light and knowing that we as a community have consecrated these elements to be the real presence of Jesus for us. So when I walk in, whatever's going on, I'm instantly reminded of that real presence with me. We are the light of the world. When we are present, because Jesus says that not that we are to reflect the light of the world, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. And so when we're present, no matter where we are, in whatever relationship or situation we are, whatever comes, people should have the opportunity to experience that real presence of Jesus, because we are the light of the world. They certainly should not experience darkness. And there's a lot of darkness out there for a lot of reasons, and I don't need to go into examples, but I will say that when we forget that we are the light of the world, as Jesus tells us we are, then we do start contributing to that darkness. We start lessening the flame that overcomes the darkness. Just looking through our scriptures today, a lot of that is pointed out. You know, the word finger pointing was in the Old Testament lesson today. I see a lot of that. Finger pointing is not part of our Christian values. It's not who we are. I see a lot of and hear a lot of name calling going on right now. That is not who we are either. I know there's a lot of spreading of false information. It's so easy to spread it. But if it's not true, it's gossip, and it creates darkness in people's lives. Actually, there's so much false stuff going around that it's creating a lot of darkness in a lot of people, and we start to lose the hope that we're supposed to hold on to as children of God. So what does the light look like? If we listen to Jesus, being the light means being one who is blessed and being one who shares that blessing for those who aren't experiencing it. Last week, Jesus told us who was blessed. And so if we're going to be the light, we're to hug those people, whatever that hug means of being the light, being the light of God, being the light of Christ, whatever that means, whatever that hug symbolizes, we are to hug those who have nothing. Hug those who won't survive without it. We're to hug those who are sad, who need comfort. Let them experience that everything really will be okay. That light is being us being gentle and humble in our relationships. Being the light of God is continually striving in the same manner that we strive and need food and water to build our relationship with God. That is building the light. We're to be kind. We're to offer forgiveness. We're to be good people. We're to be the good person in the room. We're to be the good person in the conversation, in the relationship, whatever the situation is. That's what Jesus is calling us to be. We're to do good things. They're to see us by those good things in which we do. We're to hug people so that they know that they are loved unconditionally, and we, as the light, are examples of that, so that they know that they belong. God does not exclude them, and as light, we don't either. We have to be the light in this world, even when it is hard. Yes, we're not perfect, but part of being the light is asking for forgiveness too, even when it seems impossible. We have symbols in our tradition, one of those symbols that many people have in their home or around their neck. Deb's wearing one right now. She has a cross on. Our acolytes wear crosses. Wonderful, that we have great memories and different reasons of how we connect to that. But that cross represents Christianity. Well, I see a lot of people wearing crosses, doing a lot of things that aren't being the light as Jesus has told us we are. And so I think that cross is losing its meaning. Within our tradition, we don't see a crucifix. We can see a Christus Rex, where Christ is risen in glorious robes and in a crown not of thorns, but of the kingdom. But we don't see Christ naked and nailed to the cross, because within our tradition, Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. So it's not just a symbol of Christianity, it's also a symbol of resurrection for us. But what the world is now tying to Christianity isn't what we call it, isn't how we express it and what we believe it to be. What if, instead of wearing a symbol of the death penalty, actually a symbol of the instrument of death, what if we wore a symbol of light? What would that do? And being the first Sunday of the month, today that light came untied. That's anticlimactic, isn't it? If we're going to be the light, what if we wore that instead? This is a glow stick. Those of you who use glow sticks know that there's a lifespan on a glow stick. Once you crack it and shake it, it's only going to glow for so long. But This is Jesus' glow stick. And so it doesn't go out. And so if we wore a symbol that reminded us, not that we're Christians, because that's being skewed these days, what if we were reminded that Jesus told us that we are the light of the world? That when we saw it, we knew that. And when you see it and know it, it's easier to live into it. But as a symbol of light, as we see the kids on Halloween out wearing their glow sticks, because they want to be seen, right? That's why we give them the glow sticks, is so we will see them and that they will not get run over, hopefully, is for us to be seen. That in the darkness of the world, that we are truly a light, that people can turn to us and say, there's a person of the light, I can go to them. They will be there for me in my darkness, no matter what that darkness is. We started wearing glow sticks, there would be some criticism, because this isn't a Christian symbol. But which one is more Jesus? Amen.